and his name is John Cena!
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me,
my time. Another marvelous episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I'm your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is the Boston Patriots person, people, thing. Brian Powers, say hi to the people.
What up, people? 2-0.
Speaking of football, suck 20? It, Seattle.
Yeah, right. Dude, I saw this hilarious meme the other day. It was Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Hey, Russell Wilson, knock, knock. Who's there? Owen. Owen who? Owen 2.
All right, joining us from the city of from the country of Oklahoma, Jonathan, say hi.
Hi, y'all. I'm back out here in the sticks with my corn-fed moonshine, just sitting back, relaxed, and two of my teams are still undefeated.
Nobody cares about the Sooners or the Cowboys.
Oh, bleep you. Yeah, what about them Longhorns?
We're going to beat some cowboy ass this weekend. Watch.
I don't know. The way you
watch. Play. Come on, if you're not, we play. Look, no, if we can shore up the defense, we'll be good. Okay? It's all we got to do. Quarterback is playing playing the game.
Caesar, with
life,
not no homo. No Romo.
We're talking college, not Dallas.
Yeah,
we're
talking college. Nobody cares about the Cowboys. Their season is done because they can't run the football. Taser, say hi.
Hi.
In case you aren't aware, we are the Mighty... If this is your first time listening, first of all, thank you. We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel-related, including Spider-Man, Peter Parker's age, no Uncle Ben Beth scene, Uncle Ben death.
What the hell are you talking about?
I was referencing the news.
Yes, he was referencing the news.
Gambit that director like drops out. And then also... are the Inhumans eradicating the X-Men? Also including reviews from about O-Man Logan, Captain America White number 1, and the Infinity Gauntlet number 4. But before we get onto those, let's go right back into the news with, look, the Inhumans are taking over. The Inhumans are going to become the face of what it means to be a superhero born with powers in the Marvel Universe going forward for the future.
Are we talking about the ones with Curry?
No, not with Curry.
The ones with feathers?
Yes.
Okay, just want to be sure.
The Inhumans are going to be taking over soon. Obviously, they've started their dominance with at the end of, what was it, Infinity? With the Terrigen Bomb that was dropped.
Indeed.
And then, of course, the rise of Kamala Khan, an Inhumans book, and now a new Uncanny Inhumans book will be relaunched in about 2 weeks. But Brian, give us the lowdown, and apparently, but that's not made some X-Men fans happy. And because the X-Men have kind of been shunted off to the side, and apparently the Terrigen Mist may or may not be doing something to the X-Men or mutants in general.
Yeah. Needless to say, it is tumultuous times for our favorite group that is feared and hated among the Marvel Universe. We've kind of been talking a little bit about this for the last couple of years or so, wherein we've seen sort of an edict, a directive come down from Marvel that says to just sort of put the kibosh on anything that is not marketable by Marvel Studios. This, of course, includes properties that are owned by other studios. Up until recently, that includes Spider-Man, and it also includes X-Men and Fantastic Four, both of whom are owned by Fox. Now, recently, we've seen them sort of drummed out of the merchandising and such. Fantastic Four, the series was canceled recently before the big Secret Wars event happened. And it was another edict passed down that after the Secret Wars was done, there could be no new mutants created in the wake of the reborn Marvel Universe, what have you. Now,
that's Stony.
Now, the ones that are alive can't even catch a break, and the ones that are already mutated, because, as we come to find out, the Terrigen Mists, the very things that caused the catalyst for inhumanity to rise up, render the X-Men sterile. And I think in large doses can kill them? I'm not entirely certain. I don't believe so. Not that it would prove much of a threat now anyway. But, yeah, actually, it is toxic to them, sterilizes them, and just like that, the mutant population faces extinction again for like the fifth time. It's never been done before. Yeah. Yeah.
Despite that, the end of Avengers is X-Men supposed to be up at the rebirth of everything mutant, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, Hope, what a bummer she turned out to be. She was a false prophet, that
one. Where is she anymore? What happened to her?
Oh, you want to know? I read up on this, and it was great. Guess where she is?
Where is
she? She's in a coma.
She's in where?
She's in a coma.
Wait, oh, wow. So
she contracted a rare futuristic virus while trotting around with Cable, and now she's brain dead.
They literally put her on ice. Wow.
Yeah, she got a virus from Cable, all
right. Oh, that's not right.
That's that Japanese side coming out of Taser right there, the incest.
That's not right.
Actually, it's technically not incest because we don't know who Hope's parents are.
Exactly. True. He was breaking her in, though.
Damn. All right, moving on. Moving on.
So, yeah, I mean, this has led to some panic among fanboys that it means like, oh, they're going to wipe out the X-Men. They're going to kill them all and take them off of marketing. We'll never see them again. No.
The X-Men make more money than the Fantastic Four, and they're much bigger presence than the Fantastic Four.
Keep your pants clean, folks. The X-Men have been around for over 50 years. They're not going anywhere.
They should have been canceled after Stan and Jack left, because all they did for a while was just reprints of the old issues until Neil Adams took over the book.
If they weren't canceled after that point, they ain't going anywhere anytime soon, especially now with the movies coming out.
Len Wein and Dave Cockrum came in with giant-size all-new X-Men, and then a whole new era began with John Byrne and Chris Claremont.
John Byrne and Chris Claremont!
The thing about the story I love the most is that everyone's like, oh, we'll never see the X-Men again! It's like, didn't they just announce, like, four new X-Men?
There's gonna be five.
They got, like, five new series coming up, four or five new series, and it's like, you think they're going away. Okay, look, like we said, the X-Men facing extinction is nothing new. That's their whole shtick. They're feared and hated and always on the verge of death.
Only not extinction, but definitely being hated, sure.
Yeah, so... the fact that this is happening now just means that I think the Inhumans are going to carry the brunt of that for a little while, which really sucks for them, considering the fact that, you know, they were pretty quiet up until now, no pun intended. But it's sort of the state of the Marvel Union at the moment. The X-Men will not see any new mutants emerge, and any mutants who breathe in the Terrigen mists could be poisoned or sterilized or what have you. So it's really kind of a weird place to find themselves in, but that'll probably go away next time they reboot the whole system. So that's how we find ourselves right now.
All
right.
As the resident, possibly the biggest X-Men fan here, am I correct in saying that?
Arnold was still here, no, but yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Arnold, if Arnold was here too. We know you're listening, buddy. Look, I'm not upset that the X-Men are no longer the forefront. That's not my concern. In fact, when you look at when the X-Men are by their own, they're probably the best. You know, when they're not fucking integrating with Dirty Avengers, you know? Like, that's fine with me. It's more so of... the fact that what the Inhumans are doing and what the premise of the Inhumans is more so with the Inhumans than what the Terrigen Mist. That's just to me as a writer, like, trying to, like, play up this fake rivalry, but not in a malicious way, but definitely acknowledging the consciousness around X-Men fans and playing to X-Men fans' paranoia, which, let's face it, a lot of X-Men fans have paranoia over the past 25 years. What I don't really like is the simple fact when I read the preview for Uncanny Inhumans number one is, or was it zero or one? I don't remember when they released the preview. Where basically they're doing what the X-Men were doing, and that Professor X would use Cerebra. They would find a mutant. They would go rescue that mutant. The X-Men run into a rat, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, or the Marauders, or fucking Apocalypse, or whatever, whoever wanted after the mutant, and fight ensues, and drama, and sex, and alternate futures, and whatever. Now, the Inhumans don't have all that shit, but basically the Inhumans are going to be doing that. And that sense, like, really, not only do you have them sort of kind of replacing that forefront of what it means to be born with powers inside, born with abilities, replacing the X-Men in a way, because they kind of are. Let's be real here. They're going to take that brunt. You won't see mutants or references nearly as much as you will Inhumans, and they'll probably have a new word for Inhuman, like a dirty word for like mutie or some other word for Inhumans. It's more so that the exact same premises for the Inhumans, rather than coming up with like a premise that's unique to them. You know, the Inhumans before this were cool because they were a secret society locked away from everybody. They were cool that way. But now they're a watered-down version of the X-Men doing the exact same thing X-Men was doing. Does it make sense story-wise? Absolutely. But from an X-Men standpoint, like, you're just doing what the X-Men doing for 30 years, and it's just a cheap knockoff at this point. That's from my perspective. That's the only kind. And it makes me – I'd rather go read an X-Men story than about these Inhumans who I don't give a shit about. Honestly, don't. And the only reason they're there is because you're prepping the movie and you're prepping them in it, and they've been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have no problem.
That's racist.
I don't. Thing. Inhumans have no souls. They're devil. They're the devil.
Taser, you're racist. Shut up.
That's very true.
So that's my stance on it. It's just I really don't like the premise that the Inhumans book. Like, you could do so many things, and what makes being an Inhuman unique versus being a mutant? The societal changes is actually a society of people, not just random millions of people around the world who have no connecting ideas whatsoever. You had a group of people in New Adelan or wherever that's under a kingdom. But instead, no, you're going to have Black Bolt and Medusa play Charles Xavier, and you're going to send out your little squad to rescue Inhumans, which it just feels like a lame premise to stick with them when there could be something done so much more. John, you kick it off next.
Okay, this whole thing, I understand why they're doing it, partly because Fox has got the stranglehold on the license for X-Men, because back when they were going bankrupt, that's how they got the money for it. They said in perpetuity and all that other garbage. And now that they are back in their own form of deal and got their own MCU thing going, and they know they can't get it back from Fox, they're going to market what they do have, which I find ironic considering that the Inhumans were originally part of the Fantastic Four deal, and, you know, when they were created, you would have thought that would have been under that weird licensing thing, and they wouldn't be able to do it. But, you know, but the Inhumans aren't, but Kang is, which doesn't make any friggin' sense. But that's a whole other episode. I really just don't like how they're doing it. I mean, I like the Inhumans, always have. They were, you know, when they're done right, they're fantastic to read, but now that they're just making them, as you said, a watered-down version of the X-Men, and it just, I don't know. I would just prefer that they could just go ahead and market the X-Men like they do and let, you know, bring in the Inhumans to bolster stuff, but not to literally replace them because of the movie shit. It just, but that's where we're going. If they can't move, you know, market it as a movie, they're going to start knocking it out of the deal, which is why Fantastic Four has been split apart and put in various different titles under, you know, under different things. And that's what we're going to, you know, why they're going to make it where the X-Men will have to go off planet or something because of the mist are killing mutants left and right. It's kind of ridiculous.
That's a wicked role reversal. The X-Men have to leave the planet, and it's like, and that's really kind of weird because, you know, for a long time the Inhumans were, I'm not sure if you would have called them relevant in the grand scheme of things.
They were relevant.
I mean, in the 70s?
No, I mean, up through the present day, over looking at it from a broad perspective.
You can make an argument overall, they started making more of a presence like around 2005. You can make an argument.
You know, they were like this, they were literally on a different planet. They were on the moon and they were looking down at us, and they were always this far off thing that occasionally injured. Like, you had stuff like Silent War that happened, and that was okay, and you had the classic stuff, but really, what it came down to was that it was part of, like, they were just another alien race. They weren't really that impactful, except when they needed to be in the grand scheme of Marvel storytelling. You know, like, nobody pays a second thought about, like, the Skrulls or the Kree when they're not front and center in the story. So if the Inhumans weren't there, they weren't really a big concern. That was really what it was. And, you know, as, like you were saying, Iggy, like, they've only really started to make an impact in the last decade or so, starting around the time of, I think, Silent War, which I think more or less coincided with Civil War sometime around that time.
It was around that same time period, if I remember.
Yeah, so they weren't really anything prevalent.
No, it was World War Hulk. Never mind, it was World War Hulk.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I've seen the ads for it.
Yeah, when that stuff happens and stuff, and they put them front and center, it's like, okay, yeah, they exist. They're a thing. And they occasionally warm their way back in, especially with Hickman taking over the FF series, which focused heavily on the cosmic side of the Inhumans and that whole thing. And it adds ups and downs, to be sure, as Taser's Grown indicates. But, you know, and now it's really going to become like a role reversal thing. The X-Men will still have their series and stuff, but if they're not front and center in the story of another comic, they probably won't be featured. And, of course, again, that means no new mutants and such for the time being, but, you know, it's
you,
really,
Tony.
Hey, look, it. I mean, if and when Fox ever works out a deal where they get the same deal that Spider-Man and Sony made with Marvel, because, you know, that deal now lets Marvel net some of the cash, we'll see the X-Men come back full force. I mean, they're too popular not to go anywhere. Like you're just like we were saying, they already have 5 new series in the works post Battle World, and that's with them being, you know, like, no, we can't have too many series. So it's really kind of funny, but you know, it's almost like, I don't know. The Inhumans worked better when they were that far-off thing, you know, when they were that other planet that couldn't be touched and they came down, they wrecked it, and they leave. It almost worked better that way, but now we'll get their chance to sort of shine in the spotlight. Next one we'll get to step back, and who knows if maybe that'll make it better or worse. Like Iggy said, there's a record for both, so, you know, we'll see what comes of it, but I'm not really too worried, I guess. And people shouldn't be either. Fanboys shouldn't be worried. They're not going anywhere.
I have only one thing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has the rights to X-Men?
Fox.
Fox.
The X, okay. Fox, X-Men, Fox.
Fuck you, Sony! Okay, I just like saying fuck you, Sony. Anyway, I look at it like this. Yay, look, it's the Legacy Virus all over again.
Woo! Yeah, pretty much.
I care that shit.
Yay, it doesn't matter because We're Marvel. We rehash it because the last 20 years didn't matter at all. Woo! Yay!
Easy.
We run out of ideas. The House of Ideas is bankrupt. We don't
and what's even better is now they're going to take the recycled ideas and recycle them into the Inhumans. So that'll be really fun. That's recycling on recycling. They're so green. They're so funny.
No, you know what really disappoints me is that all of this is coming because... all of this is happening because Marvel's like, hey, our movies make money.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yay! And it doesn't matter in regards to the comics, because the comics don't get a boost from the movie sales at all. Not a fucking cent. Well, no, maybe not a cent. Maybe 3 readers. Maybe 3 readers buy our books because they've seen the movies.
Maybe 3.
Yay!
Solid estimate right there, sir.
You know, tell me something. Is Iron Man in the top 10?
No, and I don't think he has been.
Avengers?
Most wanted.
Avengers? Avengers? Is Avengers is it top 20?
Well, it's hard to say because there's no Avengers book on the stands right now. So
okay, right now, but, you know, last 2 years.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to the show starts. And okay, either way, the numbers that they give, that Diamond gives us, those aren't the accurate numbers anyways.
Well, those are semi-accurate numbers that we could at least kind of sort of rely on.
According to people who actually know what the numbers are, they're not even
like
close.
You mean like the comic book store people that use the...
Well, not the... No, the pros. The actual
okay.
people.
Yeah, because they go to that website. And I don't think Avengers or Iron Man or Captain America or anything else that made big bank except for X-Men, because X-Men were a hot...
What do you know?
Themselves. I've been a reader for more than 35 years.
Okay, that means you know something. Okay.
All I'm saying is, and this is just, you know, me being redundant. This is just, you know, them trying to, you know, resell themselves unnecessarily. And, you know, this storyline here is the fucking Legacy Virus rehashed, just like Secret Wars is a rehash with a whole lot of what-ifs thrown in because we have no fucking clue.
To be fair, the what-ifs are fun for the most
part.
What-ifs
are fun, but a whole miniseries based on it?
Maybe not so much.
I'd rather read... I would rather have read this than Fear Itself
ABX?
Or...
Oh, Fear Itself was a fucking mess.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least like... You can argue whether they actually exist, but at least their quality is, like, relatively good versus what they have been in the past. So I'll say that much. But
you know what this is? Because Secret Wars is supposed to be the whole wiping the slate clean, even though we know it won't necessarily altogether be that, because some things are going to be the same, some things are going to change.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see that roller coaster ride. You want to see where it ends up. Does it stop safely, or is it a clusterfuck like New 52? Anyway,
well, we're gonna find out in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
technically, it's a clusterfuck because the series isn't ending till December. And
they're also talking about rehashing or bringing back Contest of Champions again.
Well, that's because of the fucking mobile game, the mobile fighting game. That's why.
Well, anyway, all I'm saying is this: Yeah, I'm looking at this.
Which is shit, and if you're a fucking fighting game fan, you should not fucking like that shit. That shit is
boring.
You'd
be surprised how popular that shit is.
It shouldn't be. It's crazy. That's the one thing that's preventing from...
Arnold plays it. His roommate Josh plays it. I think
I'd much rather have an actual console fucking next-gen on a, like, or a PC or something that freaking tap.
I understand that. All I can say is it looks good. I've seen it in action, and it looks good. I haven't played it, and I kind of share your opinion. I don't want to play something where I'm tapping all over the fucking place, but I'm not going to bag... anybody playing this because this all is right, actually all
right, all right. This is getting far
anyway,
from
I'm
X-Men.
Just saying that I look at this thing with the X-Men and you know I just roll my eyes because again it's a legacy virus, it's just a tweak, you know. It's them moving the X-Men kind of off to the side just a little bit so that it, you know, they're not going to be the forefront characters that everybody looks to while Marvel tries to really push forward their prime properties again to no avail because we know that shit won't work. So,
what do you mean? You don't consider Inhumans prime property after the announcement of the first new series and just that you don't consider them prime property, Taser? Well, what the fuck do you know, right? The fuck do you know?
Look,
you don't consider them prime property after one announcement of our new series?
All right. Enough. Let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taser. Yeah. Clusterfucks. Gambit. Gambit fans, shit's getting worse. Brian, what's going on with Gambit?
Yeah. As a poster on our boards put it, this could be a sign the movie's on a quick trip to development hell, but let's dive in, shall we? Recently, it was announced last Thursday that the director of the forthcoming Gambit feature film, Rupert Wyatt, would be leaving production. This was due to a number of things. Firstly, the fact that they pushed back the start date on production conflicted with another project he was scheduled to do, and so that precluded his involvement. However, they also said that there was some an escalating budget due to script issues. So either that means too much money was being thrown at him or something like, I don't know. But point is, there was a few issues blended together that ultimately led to his departure. He posted a statement saying he regretted it, that he wanted to work with his friend Channing and such. And, you know, apparently he holds no ill will, at least not in the press release. He has only directed 3 films in his career, one of which was Rise of the Planet of the Apes in 2011, which was decent. I think that was the James Franco one, yeah? Yeah. And the other one was... the most recent one was the Mark Wahlberg picture, The Gambler, or as Mark Wahlberg would put it. So, no new director announced as of yet, but this could be a sign that the movie is facing trouble, considering all the stuff it's already gone through, such as the brief scare post-San Diego Comic-Con where Channing Tatum wouldn't be attached to the product because he, you know, fucking... wasn't signed for the product or something like that. So whether or not this means the project is circling drain, I doubt it. Because, I mean, right now, the Fox has to put in what they have with the X-Men because Fantastic Four isn't doing them any favors right now. So, plus, if they want that crossover appeal, they got to get this shit going. So, you know, we'll wait and see, I suppose.
It's supposed to come out next August, right?
The release date was October 7th, 2016.
Yeah,
so
that ain't happening.
Just shy of a year.
That basically. Ain't happening. That, mm-hmm. Like, that, like, you know, I'm just going to say this is a clusterfuck. I mean, remember a couple weeks ago to Channing Tatum,
hey.
Technically wasn't even signed.
Yeah, he was like, oh, he's left the project because he was never contracted to begin with. And it's like, what the fuck is going on over there? But, who knows? I mean, they shot Deadpool in under a year, I'm pretty sure. Deadpool got done quick.
True, I guess. I just have no... I don't really have high hopes for this movie.
No, that's totally fair.
It's just so much shit is coming out. I don't really have high hopes for...
No, yeah, this is like the undercard, if you're talking wrestling terms. This is the undercard compared to the other shit that's going to be coming out.
The undercard is the fucking pre-show opener. It's fucking Gambit, people.
Yeah, but a lot of fanboys still got their panties in a bunch over this character. I mean, I don't know why.
I'm from that age
Gambit
group.
Was cool.
He was. Keyword was.
It wasn't that he tried too hard.
No. Brian, you did not grow up in the age group that I did, in which was Gambit was at its prime. You do not understand. However, Taser is saying the correct words. Gambit was cool. Was. If this movie was being made in 1997, I could agree. But it's not. And it probably would look like Batman and Robin if it was made in 1997. But the point is, we don't fucking need a Gambit movie. We don't. Look, as much as I was kind of curious because Channing Tatum was attached to the project, all these recent announcements and just recent fuck-ups from the internal company, which is crazy because X-Men Apocalypse is right around the corner. You know, that's the only X-Men movie that matters as far as I'm concerned. So that's my two cents. X-Men Apocalypse only.
Deadpool doesn't matter? Okay.
Deadpool's not a mutant. He's not. Is he tech? Does he have the X gene?
He's like that NAACP.
He's not a mutant. He is not a mutant. That's what people understand.
He is mentally mutated. Okay, that counts. God
he's
damn
not
it.
A mutant.
He's a chimichanga with thick assness.
He is not a mutant.
Where?
You guys continue.
Whatever. I was never the biggest fan of Gambit. I missed that window that Ben referenced. So him dropping out doesn't really concern me, especially considering his feature films thus far are mediocre, mixed bag. So, you know, we'll see who they land for the next project. And obviously, as Ben said, October 7th, 2016 probably won't be the release date when they find the new director. But, you know, I think Channing Tatum has a lot bound up in this. I think he's trying to do what Ryan Reynolds did. Not that I'm saying he's actually doing it, but he's trying to be that guy who champions a project and gets done stuff. So we'll see what happens. I would actually like to see Channing Tatum get his shot at playing Gambit. But as far as the director chair is concerned, I'm not overly worried, I guess. So, John, I guess you can go next.
Zero fucks given, pretty much.
Taser, do you have a sentiment?
I wouldn't mind a Gambit movie, you know? I'm not clamoring for it.
I'd rather have a Cable movie. Cable deserves a movie more.
I wouldn't mind it. No.
Made by the man himself.
If they did a Cable movie, it would have to be rated R because big-ass guns. But, you know, barring that, I think a Gambit movie is probably an easier bet. Because, I mean, come on, with Cable, you've got to have massive ordnance, you know, which means...
You've got futuristic guns, man.
You got to do that, you know. With Gambit, you could do something more...
You got to have a gun that's huge, but then you can write it off being like, it's made of a super light futuristic polymer, so it only weighs a fourth weight.
No, but
those big pouches, then? Storing all my ammo.
With Gambit, you could do something Ocean's 11-y, you know what I'm saying? You can do something big thievery, but it ends up having some type of nasty consequences, like involving the Hellfire Club. You know, yeah, where it ends up being a big chase.
A legacy virus. Oh no! So it's my legacy.
No, but seriously, you could do something like that without it being about.
One's arguing that there's a shortage of ideas here. It's just the execution that's kind of questionable.
Right. No, and I understand that completely because I remember, X-Men Origins Wolverine. So,
don't we wish we couldn't?
The movie that shall not be named. So, no, I don't have the disappointment and the leeriness that Ben does. I want to see it. You know, I just, hope that they could clear up whatever malaise is plaguing this production and, get shit started. I could give two fucks whether Channing Tatum is in it or not. I just, give me a decent movie.
You don't like Chan McDate, Stazer? You don't
know? No, I don't hate him at all. I just don't care if he's in it or not. All I care about is a decent movie. I don't care who the fuck stars in it. It can be cast with nobody. It's like Daredevil. Who the fuck was that guy playing Daredevil? I never heard of him before. He did a great job.
Charlie Cox. But he's been in stuff too. He was in HBO. He was an HBO guy.
He was That's in one nice. Fucking series.
Yeah. Again, I never heard of him.
Also in Stardust, you bastard.
See, that kind of doesn't help your case. Anyway. But that's my point, though. Never heard of the guy, bangs out a performance, boom. You don't need a name to sell the movie. Sometimes the property.
Christopher Reeve.
But shouldn't it help?
Christopher Reeve was a nobody.
Exactly. That's my point.
That's
my point.
You taser. Calm down.
I misunderstood. But
anyway, shouldn't it be a good thing that the guy is enthusiastic and wants to take on the role and all this stuff?
I have no problem with that. But what I'm saying is, in regards to all the other stuff, no, I don't care. You know, just get it done. Stop fucking around. Get it done.
Shall we move on to our book of the week?
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about
No.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about Spider-Man until we actually fucking see pictures of Spider-Man.
Fine.
All right, so let's move on to our book of the week, which is a celebration of the all-American white boy that is Captain America with finally. Brian, can you Google some information for me, please? And he's left. Never mind. Okay, so Captain America, our book of the week is Captain America White, number one. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson. This book, I believe, was supposed to come out winter of 2008.
Coincidentally, about the time when Jeff Loeb started really sucking.
Hey, that was a long time ago.
Well, his son had just recently passed away.
Well, that's also understandable. That part I'm not...
So either way, they released a zero issue, which is packaged in this issue, by the way, if you actually paid for it. I don't know.
That's why I didn't.
So this actually comes with which it's weird because like the backup is issue zero. So you get issue zero and issue one. That's why it's double the length. But we're going to talk about them. We're not going to talk about issue zero. We're going to talk about issue one. So if you're not familiar with it, and if you're one of those people who likes to write articles that Captain America White is promoting white privilege in comics, first of all, check yourself and do some research for a little bit, and then you realize this is a part of the Color series that Jeff Love and Tim Sub kind of famous for. If you know Jeff Love and Tim Sub, you've read their works. If you're an actual comics fan, you know that they did the Batman trilogy over at DC with Batman Haunted Night, Batman The Long Halloween, and Batman Dark Victory. Of course, Superman for All Seasons is their Superman title, and of course, the color books for Marvel, which are Hulk Gray, Spider-Man Blue, Daredevil Yellow, and I think this is the fourth one, or am I missing one, John, if you can correct me.
I don't think you're missing any of them.
Yeah, Hulk Gray, Spider-Man Blue, Daredevil Yellow, and this is the newest iteration with Captain America White. And basically, if you read this issue, this is the color series, and anybody who's like, well, this is just a rehash, yes and no, these are basically sort of looking at the characters at sort of their silver age sort of time. And so this is sort of Captain America coming out of the ice water while also flashbacking to World War II and that adventure. I really enjoy, like, as much as I enjoyed sort of getting into Captain America's head again and, you know, really remembering how much I like the character and actually Steve Rogers being Captain America and how much I don't like Cap Falcon as Captain America because Steve Rogers is Captain America as far as I'm concerned. Like that opening panel of Steve, that double page spread of Steve jumping out and then the Avengers don't know what to do with this man, or Giant Man commenting like, you know, he could break my own hand. You know, just overall, you know, and then the great, double page splashes of, you know, just classic Captain America and Bucky fighting Nazis and the sort of antagonistic relationship between Fury and Cap, or at least Cap in his persona. And it was just a lot of fun. Excuse me.
Achoo!
Oh no, Iggy's caught the legacy virus.
Oh my god, he's going to be written out of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I was never in the Marvel Universe. I just thought it was a great sort of start to an epic World War II / dealing with, you know, like, you know, yeah, it's dealing with the whole man at a time stuff, but if there's one thing I know about Jeff Loeb is that for some, at least with this series, he finds something core that's core about the characters about in that particular time frame, and he taps into it that can make it accessible for anybody, even if you didn't read those original stories. And I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it was worth the wait, but I definitely had a good. I definitely enjoyed Tim Sale's art, and it really. I really wanted to see, because typically, like, when they use the color, it implies they're going to use a lot of color, but there wasn't a whole lot of white outside of, you know, Captain America's skin. Like, there were flashes of, like, I was kind of seeing being more experimental with, like, negatives, like using white space, but it was just a lot of gray, just, you know, typical, like, painterly coloring. Like, some points for, like, the flashback sequences with the Avengers, the coloring and the line art looks more painted. Versus when you, like, cut to Fury, it looks more reminiscent of something from The Long Halloween. Am I the only one who sees that? Like, the line's a little bit harder. If you have a copy of Long Halloween, go compare Long Halloween with, like, this scene between Cap and Fury talking, and compare it to the rest of the book. It looks kind of different. So I don't know what the purpose of that, but then it fluctuates. It's just some things I know that. But as a start, I give it a 3 out of 5. It was definitely a good start. I wouldn't call it amazing, but I look forward to seeing where this goes. I don't even know. I think it's like a 5-issue miniseries. They're not. These are usually minis. So I give it a 3 out of 5. Well, we'll go to the old man of the group, Taser. What did you think of Captain America White number 1?
Taser.
Huh? We got pizza.
Huh? Woohoo! Pizza!
But you gotta talk about white first before you get the pizza.
So. Racism!
You're damn right, you motherfucker. Now, come on.
Hey, you couldn't prove to me she had children. Anyway.
True.
this was a stroll down memory lane, bro. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. This was a stroll down memory lane. This was classic Captain America. This was Captain America reminiscing about a time way back when, and missing Bucky, which had a little, you know, homoerotic tones to it. Cap being introspective, so to speak. And honestly, I could not care less. It was fun in that it was nostalgic. But the story in and of itself was, it started off mostly with Cap's first meeting of Nick Fury, which was kind of interesting, you know, considering the bar fight he got into with Dum Dum Duggan, and, you know, him getting reamed out by Fury, Sergeant Fury, even though he was a captain, he got reamed out by a sergeant. It was okay, you know, but honestly, this wasn't something that I feel the need to read part two of, you know, not at all, because it's just, you know, Cap wishing Bucky was alive and then going through, you know, certain events involving him. Big fucking deal. For me, just big fucking deal. I would rather this was, if this was drawn by Darwin Cook, written and drawn by Darwin Cook, the story might have come out a little better. And it's not that...
Not gonna lie, I would love to read a World War II story written and drawn by Darwin Cook.
I'd love to read anything written and drawn by Darwin Cook. I'm gonna...
Dude, his Parker series is phenomenal.
The Spirit, DC... I still maintain DC New Frontier is my favorite thing DC's ever produced.
I won't disagree with that, which is why I hate JLA New Frontier so much. It's not bad, but, you know, this kind of Cap, you know, Cap wishing Bucky was alive, you know, Cap feeling sad and lonely, you know, Cap as he was newly defrosted, this is shit that happens every now and again. I saw it in Ultimates. They touched on it a little bit not long after Cap came back from the dead, and this is now done from that point of view, not him way forward, but him right afterward, right after him being thought out. And I don't care. I just don't, you know. It's not told bad. I just don't care, you know. And the art was actually pretty decent. You know, it kind of fit. It looked retro. I just don't care. So I'll give it a 3 Warriors out of 5. It's not a bad story at all. I just don't care.
All right, John, what did you think of Captain America White, number one?
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, this is probably one of the better Captain America stories I've read in quite a long time. I've always liked Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's work. And I mean, granted, yes, it's been since it was supposed to have come out years ago. I know there were some stuff that prevented it from it happening. But all I'm going to say is it was well worth the fucking wait. Tim Sale's art was on spot. It was good. You know, like Taser said, it had that retro feel to it. It fit. This is probably Jeff Loeb's best writing I'd seen since Daredevil Yellow or Spider-Man, you know, Blue. And I did read, recently reread Hulk Gray. And it reminded me, like, what the hell happened to his writing skills once he got a hold of Rolk and screwballing up the Ultimate Universe? And I'm just saying. And I think
I'm not arguing. I'm agreeing with you. I mean, the Ultimate Universe, it's a fragile creature. I mean, he keeps getting abused over.
But I will say this: it was definitely worth the effort. I'm going to read the entire series. Just played out the fact that it was nice to see Cap just as he was defrosted, so his hot pockets weren't quite, you know, cooked yet.
Hot pockets!
Yep. But I'm going to give this 5 out of 5. It was absolutely perfect for me. Everything just hit, you know, right in where I wanted. I got to see Bucky before he becomes Winter Soldier. Classic Bucky. I've always had a soft spot for World War II superhero stories. That went back to All-Star Squadron. All-Star Squadron and JSA, that type of thing. And it's nice to see the Marvel side. So, Captain America White, I give 5 out of 5. Unless he totally goes completely downhill in the next issue, I have a feeling this is probably going to be my choice for series of the year. When, you know, if we ever do...
Famous last words. Unless it goes downhill.
It's recorded, yes. John. Welcome to
the Legend. I know. I'm more than willing to eat crow, lick it, whatever. But right now, I'm going on factor.
Female
crow. Keeps it up. I think this will be my favorite series for quite a long time that I've read from Marvel. And it was also a nice break from the whole Battle World Secret Wars thing. So, here you go.
All right, Brian, wrap it up with your take on Captain America White, number one.
I didn't read it.
Well, you're fired.
All right, I told you before we started.
I guess, you know, whatever, making me look like an ass, but whatever, that's fine. But Rachel from
Just edit over it when you go in and edit.
No, I'm keeping this in. Rachel from HR is going to want to talk to you after this meeting's over. All right, so that's going to do it for Captain America White.
I'm going to go make copies of my ass in the copy machine, goddammit. This is bullshit.
You don't even have a copy machine.
How do we do now. Ass? I bought it just to spite you.
This is why I should have never made you treasury officer. All right.
Like Wonder Woman?
All the money went to Brady's legal defense. That's where all that money went.
Damn. All right. No wonder I couldn't get a cup of coffee to save my life. All right. But let's move on to let us know what you thought of Captain America White number one, and was it worth the wait? Let's move on to individual reviews. But again, only two this time around. We're going to go next to Brian because we didn't fucking do the homework. We're going to go with Brian with Old Man Logan, number four. Is Dante's Inferno finally over?
No, it's not. Taser, you want to just tell the good folks at home what you've decided to label this moment, please?
Oh, yeah. This is Brian's moment of catharsis.
As the many adoring fans at home know, I reviewed Old Man Logan a couple weeks ago, and it was issue number three. And my main gripe with it was the fact that there didn't seem to be a story, point, to any of it. It was basically Logan lacking any real agency in his life, getting knocked around, literally, from domain to domain, and just finding himself in situations where he's allowed to brood for a moment before getting punched into the next area. Now, end of third issue, he gets caught by a Thor, and he gets thrown into the Deadlands, where all the Marvel Zombies and Ultrons and Annihilation Wave exists. So, you figure old man Logan, old Wolverine, slowed healing factor. You think something would be coming to a head with this. Apparently, Marvel is not getting the point. When I said, there's no story, fix it. I figure, oh, okay, they'll get it. They'll understand. They have a plan for something or anything. So he wakes up in the Deadlands, and he meets up with She-Hulk, Jen Walters. And they fight zombies for a couple pages. And despite the fact that we established in this very issue that She-Hulk herself cannot leap out of the Deadlands, no matter how hard she tries, we get a scene where She-Hulk grabs Wolverine, leaps directly into the air, and hurls Wolverine, fastball special style, out of the Deadlands, and he lands in Manhattan, and that ends the issue.
Bam, 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 bam.
There is nothing redeeming about this issue. The dialogue is pointless and shitty. It's Bendis trying to be his, you know, witty, self-repeating self when there's nothing to be witty about because you're in the fucking zombie Deadlands, okay? Okay, Florentino art is wasted here. There's nothing to depict. I didn't even know it was She-Hulk until she said something because the coloring is just completely off in this issue. There's nothing here. It's four issues in. There's no storyline, no clear design of what the hell is going on with this issue. It's just Wolverine being knocked from place to place, and occasionally something happens. And now he's in Manhattan. He's literally in what is considered to be the 616 of Battle World. To an extent. Not entirely. I really wonder what the hell is going to happen now. Is he just going to get knocked into Doomstat from here? Is he going to face down Doom? And then when Doom
that's
is done,
how,
is he going to punch Doom?
That's how Secret Wars ends. Old Man Logan kills him.
Old Man Logan kills Doom, but then fucking Maul commits, and he punches Wolverine into a different domain, and that's how the story ends, and that's...
Folks,
I learned this the hard way. Don't give your money to this series. It is pointless, and I mean that in every way, every definition. There is nothing going on. There's no consistent plot thread. There's no motivation. There's nothing to this. It is just Marvel going, hey, remember Wolverine exists? With some moments of Bendis doing that thing that Bendis does, where he just has word bubbles every fucking where. Normally, it takes until the end of a run for Bendis to fuck over a series. He did it in not even four issues in this one. He got it done in two. And the worst part is, I love Old Man Logan. He's one of my favorite he ranks second on my all-time favorite stories list. And they're doing this shit with him that doesn't even make any sense. And
I would just like to say, Brian Powers, you have great rage in your heart. You belong to the Red Lantern Corps. I'm just saying, you know?
Great, now there's red blood shit all over my desk. It's perfect. 0 out of 5. Fuck this series. I'm done with it. I'm not paying for another. I'm not even picking up off the shelf next time. Fuck this series. Fuck it in its stupid face.
My name is Taser, and I approve of this rant.
All right. John Boy, wrap us up with Infinity Gauntlet number 4.
All right. I will say this. This is not exactly one of the. It was like the only thing I could find right now that would be remotely looking like I could pick up worth reading. the series has not been bad, but to say that it's not, you know, not bad is like saying that Old Man Logan might have a shot in hell at being, you know. Yeah. And I approve of that rant. I will just say this. I picked this up mainly because, aside from something to read, it actually was showing this version's Adam Warlock, because I'm a big fan of the character. And figured, what the hell, see what this kind of alternative version is. It won't be so bad. I was wrong. It was bad. I will say the art is pretty. And I do like that they actually showed Drax the Destroyer with a cape again.
It's Dustin Weaver is the artist, right?
Yeah.
He did off
of no, it's a story and art, Dustin Weaver.
Wow.
By Gary
Dugan. I went to school with a game guy named Dustin Weaver.
But, you can't be the same guy. Dustin Weaver's a way younger man than you are.
All I'm going to say is I just... You know, with the way we've been doing the hate with the Battle World titles, I will say this. Ghost Racers and Master of Kung Fu is a better series than this is.
Old Man Logan isn't even a good series. This is bullshit!
Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's just Brian Michael Bendis being Brian Michael Bendis. No, I will just say this. It was pretty, and it did further the story along, but I really didn't give a shit. And that is a big sin to me. That you can't, if the series can't get you into it, and we got to loading the passengers only, put the seatbelts on, with the planes and stuff flying overhead, and I like the Nova Corps, I love Adam Warlock, just not these versions. They just, I don't know, it's like they just decided to, you know, make it more like, gotta have, yeah, it's whatever, it's shit. I give it 2.5 out of 5 simply for the art. I do like the art, but the writing and characterization, yes, I know it's a different world. I know that it's blah, 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 this because of Battle World and blah, 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 that. But motherfucker, it's not Warlock to me. And Thanos isn't even Thanos to me. The closest one that was the actual character to be said was I am Groot. And with the and when the only character that's true to form is the fucking tree, yeah, you know? That's all I can say. I was more entertained by the advertising. For the next new series that are coming out from the new Rebirth, you know, that's coming out with all the new series than I was with this title.
Reviews so bad and that I'm just like, John Cena can save them.
I can't really find anything.
John Cena?
John John, are you done? Did he die? Did he get erased by the Secret Wars from Marvel Universe?
I think he died.
Jonathan! Oh, man, Logan.
I guess I'll know.
Okay.
All right, I guess it's going to
hold on.
What?
I want to, because that was the only other book that I read. And, you know, contrary to what John Jen said, I thought it was stupid and fun. You know, none of the books that are coming out now you can take seriously. You know, this is just Marvel using up paper to keep you interested in the Marvel product until they've, you know, finished resetting the board, so to speak. But with this book, I'm a little more engaged. Not as much as I was in Civil War, I will say, but this is, you know, below that. I wanted to see exactly how they were going to play Thanos's, you know, hostile takeover, which comes at the end of this book. It's been kind of fun, you know. It's funny to see, oh, yeah, we've got some black empowerment by having a whole family of Novas. Yay. We've got this woman who comes back apparently from the, you know, they thought she was dead, and she's, you know, she has like 2 of the Infinity Stones. She gets 4. She has power, mind, time, and I'm not sure if it's space or what, but with all of this at her command, what does she do? She runs around trying to find all 6 of them so she can do whatever the fuck. She has the time gem. Just think about it. She has the time gem. And in her area, there's been like a massive bug invasion. She has the time gem. So, yeah, you know, me reading this book, and I'm sure anybody who's using their heads right now, and probably John, when he read this, is like, why didn't she just go back and kind of fix all of this shit from happening? But, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, because story. But when she encounters Adam Warlock, because he's got, like, this fortress where the bugs apparently have been held at bay, you know, and you see people manning encampments and like battlements and big ass cannons and shit, and they're like, whoa, ooh, people look safe in there. They're kind of thriving here. What is this man, or what's he doing? And blah blah blah. And the Adam Warlock here, he's called it Megasville, so that automatically is like, uh-oh. And he knows why she's come, because while she has the mind gem, excuse the train, while
John's got planes, you've got trains.
I got trains and I got hoes and I got bros from hoes.
Oh,
bros and hoes, hoes and bros. I got holes in my bros. Anyway, she has the mind gem. He has the soul gem. So while she's been peeking at him, he's been peeking at her, and he's one with his gem, and he knows exactly why she's come. And she kind of rolled up in there, was like, "Hey, yo, look, you got that thing? I want it. Holla." And he was like, "No, I don't think so. You know why? Because a talk." And she runs after him. He leads her away. His cronies fight the family and Peter Quill and the tree and Gamora and everything else like that. And Thanos. And then Drax shows up, because Drax, "Hi, Thanos, where is he? Thanos, let me choke Peter Quill." And, you know, this, you know, the melee between the two sides. But it's funny to watch the mother of the Nova family kind of get her ass beat by somebody with the one gem. And it just so happens that it's Adam Warlock with the soul gem, you know? She kind of holds her own for a little bit, but he, you know, kind of gets her on her knees, and he's about to extract her soul, you know, and then Thanos from behind. Oh, my God. Nobody saw that coming. Yes, I did.
On her knees from behind? This is some kinky shit going on here. Well, keep going. You know,
I can't
Let me unbuckle my pants. Hang on.
Let it swing free. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, of course, that's when Thanos comes in and he, you know, disrupts what's his name was doing. And, you know, he clobbers Warlock and takes the one gem and then takes the other gems, because, you know, the mother, you know, she was stupid. She had four gems. She couldn't do shit. And now Thanos ends up with all five gems.
Holy shit!
He's back! And then he goes off looking for the sixth gem. And, we kind of fuck. And you find out in the process that Adam Warlock had managed to keep their area safe by using the mind gem, because he was holding this big-ass alien behemoth. And when I say behemoth, I'm talking bigger than that mole creature that came up in Fantastic Four number 2. Way bigger than that. He was keeping that shit under wraps while also apparently feeding it. And they only ate humans. He was keeping that under wraps. And with him gone, this shit breaks free, and Thanos doesn't care. So Thanos just goes, bye. And, you know, they get to deal with that shit. So, you know, I mean, that tickled me, you know, because I'm twisted. So, I want to see how this roller coaster ends. And, you know, unfortunately, John didn't like it, but I kind of enjoyed it. Because I know it's not going to end nice, because it's the Secret Wars. The Secret Wars isn't nice. So, yeah, let's hear it for fucked upness. I'll give this a 3.75 Warriors out of 5. You know, I had fun reading it. It put a smile on my face. That's all the book really needs to do.
I'm glad it gave someone a smile. I couldn't. Ooh, I was...
You know what didn't put a smile on my face? I'll give it 3 Logan? Kisses. God damn it.
Was it John Cena?
Thousand years deadlands for this book. 1,000 years deadlands for this fucking book. I hate it.
That's a hatred. Okay, snoozing or resting his throat? Resting his throat.
John, your life for Iggy's. I swear to God, John, you gotta stop this shit.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for posting wherever you post us. if you want to follow up-to-date stuff, Taser's our Facebook general manager, because that's the title I'm going to give him. He manages all the Facebook stuff, so...
Yeah, I'm a general.
Yeah.
I'm assistant to the general.
Yeah.
He's assistant general.
Your attorney general.
Ooh.
I like that. That's not bad.
And, of course... if you want, and because I'm the person who does more than the podcast, I also do movie commentaries with my best friend, Mr. Dragon, at marvelousiggy.wordpress.com. Head over there right now at the time. Head over there right now, and you can catch our newest commentary on possibly the great, one of the greatest underdog stories of all time, Rocky. Which
I thought you were gonna say Dodgeball.
No.
Yeah, Dodgeball.
No. I could have said Rudy as well, because Rudy's a great underdog story.
Rudy's an asshole.
Rudy, don't leave Sean Astin out of this, okay?
No. I mean, literally, the guys who say they lifted up Rudy called him an asshole. Say he's an asshole
movie
in real life.
The movie version of Rudy, okay?
His father was awesome.
He's a hobbit, goddammit. His
father was
love.
John Astin.
Oh, who's that?
Oh, my God.
Now you know how we feel when we bring him a name and you go, and we go, oh, my God. So,
he played Gomez Adams in the Adams Family TV series.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the movie, because Raul Julia was the best. You know?
So if you want more of me, head over there. You can listen to the Rocky commentary that I did with Mr. Dragon, as well as future commentaries coming down the pipeline. We're going to be starting our Halloween month in 2 weeks, our month of scares. And then, of course, ooh, if you want to see me live stream some video games, head over to twitch.tv/iggy2814 for some Legend of Zelda Minish Cap Madness, which I just did some earlier today, some Metroid Zero Mission Madness,
woo-hoo!
As well as a little bit of an RPG dash with Golden Sun, which will be actually which should be a new episode. So, and, of course, if you miss all those... and you can't catch the live stream and you miss the archives because your Twitch deletes the archives after about like 2 weeks, if you're not like a Twitch member or something, head over to youtube.com/user/MarvelousIggy. It's spelled exactly how you would think it would be. And you can watch all those in one in a convenient playlist set for each individual playthrough. So go ahead and check those out. And finally, if you like the Green Lantern side of things, and I know one Green Lantern title got a little bit of boost, although I don't think that's going to affect its boost in sales, head over to thegreenlanterncore.com for my take on Green Lantern, Green Lantern Lost Warrior, Lost Army for the last two issues, the Omega Men, and Justice League.
Was the boost in that issue caused by Iggy's tight handling of the issue? You can't say otherwise.
No, I guarantee you, I wouldn't put it past that. I don't know what the readership is for the site, because like a whole bunch of people click there, but I wouldn't. I kind of hated the series until issue 3. I was like, this is shit. It's not shit. It's just it didn't connect with me, and I didn't think it was doing the things it needed to be do for like a new ongoing series. But it's actually issue 3 and 4 were definite improvements. Still problems in my opinion, but definite improvements from what it was before. So. You know what? Hey, the creators are able to tell their story within 12 issues. That's fine. Lost Army, though, that's a mediocre piece of shit that needs to just die.
Oh, and
I don't need
it. That's got most of the GL characters.
I don't. You know what? It's about GLs, but if you, it's like most of the issues are centered around a pointless flashback sequence with Jon Stewart, and it's pointless.
John Cena.
Exactly. So. Hustle, loyalty, respect, so never give up. We'll see you all next time.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Your time is up, my time is now.